Welcome back to the News at One. Well, as a new decade begins here on the programme, we're continuing our look back on big events from the previous decade. Well, yesterday we looked at politics here over the past 10 years. Today we cast an eye over the economic situation here when the country was in the midst of the darkest of financial times. Our reporter Kate Egan spoke to Alan Ahern of NUIG and RTE's David Murphy. I'm
begging. I'm going to talk first to Patrick Honohan, the governor of the central bank. So it is your understanding then that there will be a loan and that we will have to accept it?
It's my expectation that that will happen, yes.
I can confirm that the government have concluded negotiations with our European partners and international institutions, including the European Commission, the European Central Bank and the International Monetary Fund.
While borrowing is still too high, our public finances are moving towards a sustainable position. Internationally, our good name and our credibility have been restored. Thanks to these efforts, Ireland will exit the EU-IMF bailout tonight.
The cornerstone of Mr. Noonan's speech was a set of changes to the tax system to encourage employment.
I'm reducing the top rate of income tax from 41% to 40%.
I am today announcing a package of over 1.2 billion euro, excluding EU funding, to respond to Brexit.
Well, to take a further look at the economy over the last 10 years and the last decade, I'm joined now from our Galway studio by Professor Alan Ahern, Director of the Whitaker Institute at NUIG, and also by RTE's David Murphy, who was business editor at the time of the banking crash and who now works in politics. David, if I could start with you first of all, what was it like reporting back then?
Well, I think it was quite an extraordinary time because for the government at that time, the Fianna Fáil Green government, almost every weekend there was a new announcement they were coming out with in an effort to get to the bottom of what was going on in the Irish banks. And they started by putting in a little bit of money and then a little bit more money and then more taxpayers' money. And they were in a situation where almost every week it was getting worse. And there were companies around the country collapsing, jobs were being lost, the economy was slowing, international confidence was ebbing literally by the day from Ireland, the stock market was getting hammered. And I think that it was very difficult at that time for politicians because they could never really get to the bottom of how bad things were in order to draw up a package which would actually rescue everything.
And Alan, you were special advisor at that time to the Minister for Finance back then, Brian Lenehan, who was, I suppose, not only battling to try and keep the Irish economy going, but also had his own personal health battle as well at that time.
That's true. And the efforts were trying to undo the imbalances that had been created during the bubble years, during 2003 and 2008. And that required a lot of fiscal consolidation, putting the public finances in order. It required trying to restructure the banks and stabilise the financial system and trying to restore competitiveness to the Irish economy. And I guess, looking back, you know, that wasn't going to happen quickly. That was a multi-year programme. It was going to take several years to restore confidence in the public finances. It was going to take several years to sort out the banks. And therefore, what was required was patience from financial markets in particular, because Ireland was needed to borrow huge amounts of money from financial markets right through that time and for several years. And eventually, the patience ran out. The financial markets were panicked. And they just weren't willing to continue to lend to the Irish government. They were worried about the Irish state defaulting. And that's why Ireland eventually had to borrow from somebody else. And that somebody else was the Troika.
I suppose one of the more controversial aspects of all of this was the bailing out of the bondholders. And that's still an issue that is being debated today as to whether or not it was the right policy to take. Alan, what's your opinion on that?
senior bondholders were rescued. There were lots of losses put on junior bondholders. And I guess some of the debate was about whether the bondholders in banks, as people who've lent to the banks, whether they should have shared in some of the pain. They should have, of course. But that was ruled out by the extent of the initial government guarantee. And interestingly, even in retrospect, if those bonds holders had not been included in the government guarantee of October 2008, the Irish state probably would not have been able to put losses onto them anyway, because European policy, particularly ECB policy and even global policy through the crisis years, was that senior creditors to the banks, including bondholders, were not to be burnt. Again, if you go a few years down the line, it's certainly the case that Ireland did have to, because of pressure from the ECB, did have to rescue some bondholders and some of the banks. But then the ECB was quite accommodative to Ireland when it came to restructure some of the IOUs that had been used to recapitalise the banks. And so there was give and take. The net effect, I think, of all that was probably that bailing out the bondholders made very little difference. Ultimately, at the end of the day, to the cost of the overall crisis, and really made very little difference to people on the ground. The collapse in the economy, the job losses, the wage cuts, the hikes in taxes, the cuts in the government expenditure, all that would have happened to more or less the same extent whether bondholders had been bailed in or bailed out.
Yeah, I think it's important to bear in mind as well, in terms of the legacy of the crash, you know, we've now got a debt of around 200 billion. How much of that was caused by the banks, and how much of it was actually caused by the fact that Ireland was spending far more than it was taking in every day on normal services like teachers, doctors, nurses, and the usual things you have, the usual bills you have to pay when you're running a country. And about two-thirds of the debt we still have relates to the public finances, and perhaps about a third relates to the legacy of the banking crash. I think that people still resent the fact that some bondholders were repaid in banks which were ultimately liquidated. And I think that that is a cause for concern still to this day. But I think the problem was, particularly when Fine Gael came to power, they weren't given a very clear picture regarding what would be the benefit if they didn't repay some of these bondholders. And they couldn't seem to get to the bottom of that question. And the European Central Bank was leaning on them to ensure the bondholders were repaid, because what they wanted to do is they wanted the banks ultimately, mainly AIB and Bank of Ireland and Permanent TSB, to be able to go back to the markets, to be able to borrow again instead of depending on the European Central Bank for money. And the quantity of money which was owed to the European Central Bank was quite staggering. It was something in the region of 180 billion euro. And for a country which takes in about 60 billion euro every year by way of taxes, that's a huge amount of money. And I think that that's why there was so much concern about what happened during the boom in Ireland. That's why the people in Frankfurt who run the European Central Bank were so concerned. They wanted their money back.
Alan Hearn, what do you think the big lessons of this last decade have been?
One of the key lessons is be wary of loose credit and be wary of financial excesses, because that's what we saw during the bubble years. But I think that those lessons are well learned. Central Bank has new rules on mortgage lending. There is pressure from certain sources for them to relax that. But Central Bank is rightly resisting that sort of pressure. We don't need credit booms to fuel unsustainable increases in the property market.
Is there a danger, you think, that there's too much reliance at the moment on corporation taxes?
Well, I guess one of the other lessons is that the government should not rely on transitory sources of receipts or revenues. Back in the bubble years, those transitory temporary receipts came from the property market, then disappeared when we had the crash. To some extent, part of the increase we've seen in the corporation tax receipts over recent years may well be transitory. One of the economists are not quite sure what's driving those increases in receipts. So it's difficult to pinpoint how much of that is actually temporary and how much it is likely to be sustainable. But maybe that's the point. If you can't explain it, don't spend it, or at least if we can't explain where those revenues are coming from, and we don't know for sure whether they're going to be sustainable or not, then we need to be very careful in spending that money.
I think the main problem for the government in relation to this big chunk of money that it's getting from corporation tax is that it's really down to a very small number of companies who are operating in Ireland, the likes of Dell being one example. And if one or two of them, for instance, decide to make a major change, not just in employment here, but perhaps in terms of how much business and how much of their corporate activity happens through Ireland, I think that could have a big effect on the public finances. So it's a source of revenue that the government isn't really controlling. It's just rolling in to the exchequer, and the government, when it has it, it's using it to spend it. But if it does dry up without any warning, then the government begins to run a deficit. And that's where the danger arises. And that's where you could see the markets reacting negatively towards Ireland, and effectively the government being forced into some cuts that it may not be happy to introduce.
Finally, Alan Ahern, are you optimistic for the next 10 years or so?
I think so. I mean, the Irish economy has been growing very strongly over the last few years. We've had 7 consecutive years now of very strong employment growth. The economy is at full employment. Look, there are lots of risks in the global environment to global trade policies. Brexit is a risk for us. But there are always risks at any stage in the economy. The economy is showing a lot of resilience.
It's interesting. Look back over 10 years, we had big unemployment problem, lots of people leaving the country, companies going bust. And now unemployment is very low. Definitely the economy is going very strongly at the moment. I think, though, people would be naive to say it's all rosy in the garden. I think the big problem facing the government at the present is homelessness and the health system. And even though the economy is performing well, I think there are a lot of concerns about those two particular issues.
Professor Alan Ahern, Director of the Whitaker Institute at NUI Galway, and RTE's David Murphy, thank you both for joining us today.